You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The question is this: is it possible to heal sick people by draining blood from them? 200 years ago, this was an accepted medical practice. Doctors used this procedure, called bloodletting, on the first president of the United States. Now, however, medical authorities believe that this was a serious misunderstanding and certainly contributed to President George Washington's death. Life-destroying misunderstandings occur not only in medicine, they also take place in religion. In fact, the greatest misunderstanding in religion was again documented by a recent nationwide Gallup poll. This survey revealed that the majority, yes, the majority of the people in our nation today, sincerely believe that on the Day of Judgment, people will be either given or denied entrance into heaven on the basis of how they have lived their lives here on earth. That is, if you do nice things, you go to heaven, and if you are bad, this will send you to hell. Now, this may all sound very good and even very logical, but it clashes directly with that which God has revealed in His holy word. In Ephesians chapter 2, we read, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of anybody's works, so that nobody can boast." The British theologian J.B. Phillips explains God's grace and salvation in these words: "Therefore, God has shown for all time the tremendous generosity of grace and kindness He has expressed toward us in Jesus Christ. Your salvation is nothing that you can do or achieve. It is God's gift of grace which saves you. No one, the Scriptures say, can pride himself upon earning the love of God. The fact is, the Scriptures remind us today that what we are, we owe all to the hand of God upon us. Simply stated, as far as God is concerned, all our religiosity and all of our self-righteousness may look good to other people, but to God, it does not mean one thing. And so if you and I are to please God, then we must, in sincere repentance, give up all our attempts of winning God's favor through our self-righteous living, and instead accept God's gracious invitation to trust, not in what we do, but in what Jesus Christ has already done for us through His sacrificial death and victorious resurrection on Easter morning. Yes, let us thank God every day that Jesus Christ died in our place. His death paid for your sins and mistakes and mine. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you and me from all of our sinfulness. And most important, Jesus Christ rose again, that all who trust in Him shall not die eternally, but instead, all who place their faith in the Savior shall be raised unto life eternal on the last day. Oh, let's not waste time arguing about how good we have been and how many great deeds we have all done. Instead, let us daily rejoice that even though we often fail in our lives and we make so many mistakes, God still loves us. And so therefore, let us cling tightly to the Word of God found in Ephesians chapter 2, where we read, "God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions and sins, has made us alive in Christ. And so then let us by faith grasp tightly to Christ. And like a reptile which sheds its old skin, we likewise, through our sincere repentance, shed also our own self-condemning self-righteousness. And then God in His mercy clothes us. Yes, He places upon our unburdened shoulders the perfect and everlasting righteousness of His Son Jesus. It is this mantle of righteousness which shall qualify us to enter the great marriage feast of the Lamb on the final day of judgment. What a glorious celebration that shall be! And of course, no wonder also that Christian congregations worldwide rise enthusiastically to their feet every Sunday to praise the mercy and the love and the forgiveness of God in Jesus Christ. No wonder one hymn has been such a favorite of so many people of different nations and tongues. The hymn writer wrote, "Salvation unto us has come by God's free grace and favor. Good works cannot avert our doom. They help and save us never. Faith looks to Jesus Christ alone, who did for all the world atone. He is our one Redeemer. Since Christ has full atonement made and brought to us salvation, each Christian therefore may be glad and build on this foundation. Your grace alone, dear Lord, I plead. Your death is now my life indeed, for you have paid my ransom." Oh, just listening to these beautiful, hope-giving, and Christ-centered words of this hymn enables all of us to understand why even many children today listen to this program of encouragement. When these young people hear a Christ-centered message of hope, they are often moved to write us. Not long ago, we received a heartwarming and encouraging letter from a young lady who said, "I am a teenager in high school. I very much enjoy your program, and so do my friends. I invite my friends over to listen to the program, and after it is over, we discuss it. We record it, and after church, we listen to it again." Oh, what hope, yes, what hope Jesus Christ has brought to the world through his death and his victorious resurrection. Unshackled now are many who previously were bound with the false and devil-inspired idea that they must try to please God by their actions and lives of self-righteousness. Surely those who have been so misled will only daily labor uselessly on the endless treadmill of salvation through man's efforts. The gospel of God's grace, that Jesus has done it all, has brought hope to the hopeless. It rids us of all vain and useless desires to win God's mercy through our phony acts of self-righteousness. And this glorious and eternal gospel provides all who trust in Jesus with the opportunity to begin a new life through faith in the Savior. Let me repeat this for you today. Because Jesus Christ has eliminated all requirements for you to become holy through your own power, you today can have a new life of peace and assurance and total confidence. And of course, my friend, you know, it's not by accident that we are speaking today about the greatest misunderstanding in history. Last week, churches all over the world celebrated the festival of the Reformation. The Reformation was primarily a religious movement which took place in Europe 470 years ago. Its massive impact is still felt among us today. The Reformation was a religious explosion, and the fuse of the explosion was a colossal misunderstanding involving religion. The person who misunderstood religion for so many years was Martin Luther. Luther thought it was up to him to do the very best he could, and if he gave his very best, God, Luther thought, would eventually accept him on his terms. The endless agony Martin Luther went through before his heart received the perfect pardon message and the peace of the gospel message is described by the well-known historian who taught for many years at Yale University, Dr. Roland Bainton. In his book on the Reformation history, Dr. Bainton wrote, "Martin Luther fasted sometimes 3 days on end without a crumb to eat. He laid upon himself vigils and prayers in excess of those stipulated by the rules. Luther cast off the blankets at night, and he well nigh froze to death. At times, Luther was proud of his sanctity, his holiness, his self-righteousness, and then Luther would say, 'I have done nothing wrong today.' But then," Dr. Bainton points out, "the tables would turn, new misgivings, doubt, and anxieties would arise in the reformer's mind, and Luther would then begin to question himself and to say, 'Have you fasted enough? Are you poor enough?'" And so isn't it true, my friend, that even today we must admit that this is a colossal example of one of the greatest misunderstandings in religion, which is still so widespread even among us today? Now, in order to understand the hellish life Luther experienced, it might be good for us today to hear Luther himself explain his life in his own words. Luther said this, "I was a very good monk, and I kept the rule of my order so strictly that I may say that if ever a monk got to heaven by his monkery, it was I. All my brothers in the monastery who knew me will bear me out. And if I had kept on any longer, I should have killed myself with vigils and prayers, readings, and other works." And yet all of this religiosity brought Martin Luther no comfort, no peace, and no assurance. It was as if he were living on a religious roller coaster, assurance one day, and then sliding to the very pits of hell the next. This is also the conclusion of the Yale University scholar Dr. Bainton, who writes, "All such dramatic methods that Martin Luther used in his religion gave him no sense of inner tranquility. The purpose of his driving religiosity was to compensate for his sins, but this man could never feel that the ledger was balanced." Oh, the hellish life continued on for the reformer until he began his serious studies of the Bible, especially the book of Psalms, the book of Romans, and also Galatians. And then gradually the light began to dawn as Luther was reading and studying the Word of God in Romans. Luther, by faith, began to understand what God was really saying. Now everything changed for him. The greatest misunderstanding in the world was replaced by a faith understanding, which not only changed this reformer, but also has the power to change the lives of all people all over the world, even today. Oh, this can also change your life from religious anxiety and uncertainty. It can change it to the Christ-centered peace and assurance and the joy that the beautiful Savior offers, based squarely and only on the righteousness of Jesus Christ. This is the challenge for you today. Examine your own life honestly. Is it possible that you today are out on the thin ice of spiritual uncertainty? Are you trusting in what you have done, and how good you think you have been, and how great a life you have led? Or are you on Judgment Day going to give up all the attempts of saving yourself and throw yourself completely onto the solid, unwavering foundation of the saving merits of Jesus Christ? If you feel alone in your religious struggle today, don't feel that way, because you have company. For years, you see, Luther himself staggered and agonized under the vain attempt to please God through his own life of self-righteousness. It was the Word of God, however, which removed this burden of misunderstanding. It was the Holy Spirit working through the Word, which caused the heart of the reformer to be surprised by joy. It was not what he had to do, but what Jesus Christ had already done, already accomplished, yes, already completed on the cross. And so as this courageous reformer was reading the Holy Scriptures, Luther turned to Romans chapter 1. In the Word of God he read that in the gospel a righteousness of God is revealed. What a surprise! All this time Luther had believed that his salvation came from a righteousness of his own, and this would save him. But now everything changed. Like a gold nugget lying in the dirt, these words stood out as a treasure of life eternal. It was not his own unreliable righteousness which would save him, but the perfect righteousness of the promised Messiah. And now we must ask the question, are we to think that this reformer took a few words out of context and started a whole new doctrine and a whole new movement of his own? Did Luther start a new sect or a new cult? By no means. And so now the joy Luther experienced is further explained in St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 3, where the Apostle Paul writes, "I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord, that I may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but a righteousness which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith." Oh yes, it is indeed as St. Paul explains the gospel in the book of Romans. Jesus Christ was delivered up to the crucifiers as a result of your sins and failures and mine. But now, thanks be to God, Jesus Christ was raised again on Easter morning for our justification, yes, our salvation. And now, as a direct result of what Jesus Christ has done for you and me, we can look forward with total confidence to standing before the judgment throne of God someday soon. And when your turn to be judged for your life and your failures and sins comes up for review, don't look to your own religious deeds or efforts to save yourself. It will do absolutely no good whatsoever. If you do this, you shall certainly be lost. Instead, my friend, point with confidence and hope to Jesus Christ and say, "Not one bit of righteousness is within me. I throw myself, yes, my entire hope, on the merits of Jesus Christ, my Savior. This Savior, yes, He alone, has the power to save me unto everlasting life." And so, my friend, today, let us cheerfully agree, shall we, that this must be a day of joy, a day of sincere and God-pleasing repentance. To repent, you see, means to change our attitude entirely. To repent means to remove our eyes from our sinful selves and to refocus them on Jesus Christ alone. This God-pleasing repentance, that repentance which leads to salvation, enables us, by the Spirit of God, to give up all our filthy rags of self-righteousness and to accept with joy the new clothing from God, the new garment of Christ's perfect righteousness. For in the gospel, as Martin Luther learned in Romans chapter 1, a righteousness not from or of men, but a righteousness from God is revealed. And so, my dear friend, for encouragement for you in your life, for peace and hope in this life and life eternal, and for the assurance of everlasting life in heaven, cling tightly to Jesus Christ and His righteousness, for the Savior's perfect righteousness shall indeed save you unto life eternal. Amen.